All right, John chapter 11 here tonight. John chapter 11, we'll be getting there in a moment. Let me remind you, from a week ago, we looked at the idea of believing prayer. And let me just say this, faith is absolutely essential in prayer. If we do not believe God is able and willing, then why pray? Not only that, but we will not pray if we don't believe that God is able and willing. And we looked in particular at Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He exists. You know, He's a God that we love even though we've not seen Him. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we're not talking about just asking requests. We're talking about seeking a closer relationship with God. And then I started a list of various things. How do we pray in faith? First of all, we looked at believe all things are possible with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible, the Bible says. And we looked at some other references. Number two, also believe you will receive an answer. Again, why pray if we don't believe that God is actually going to give an answer? And again, we'll talk about praying according to the Lord's will and all that. Third, I want you to consider also, though, we must trust God in times of delay. Trust God in times of delay. Now, we talked a little bit before the service about some of this health and wealth thing, you know, that, you know, you pray and you know, then people are disappointed because they don't receive an immediate answer. And one question often with that is, all right, so if they truly have the power to heal, then why don't they go to the children's hospital in Iowa City and other places and lay hands on all those people, all those young people, those children, and watch? Those people are not allowed on the stage. At these healings, they're not allowed on the stage. Or they'll say, you don't have enough faith. Or you have another issue. You know, you have cancer. I see you have cancer. The Lord has revealed that that's not scripture. I want you to notice here that we must trust God in times of delay. Sometimes we have to wait days, sometimes months, sometimes years. But I want you to, again, you think about this. It's not the faith issue as we're talking about the healing and all that. I want you to consider that sometimes God is testing our faith with these delays. I want you to notice here, John chapter 11 is an example. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So John gives us some clarification for those who are not familiar with the family and all that. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. All right, so we see that the Lord had a special love relationship with this family. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. But don't you notice here, one of the purposes that Jesus Christ is emphasizing here is what? The glory of God. God always does things for His glory. He's deserving of that glory, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. All right, so because He loved them so much, they're expecting that Jesus is going to immediately drop everything He's doing and go heal and raise up Lazarus. By the way, He did not have to, as we see in Scripture in the Gospel accounts, He did not have to go there to be able to raise somebody up. He could speak the healing even as we see elsewhere in other situations. But notice, because He loved them, when He had heard therefore that He was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. And of course, as we know according to this story, Lazarus ends up being dead 4 days before Jesus goes to the sepulcher. So you notice here this delay because He loved them. Why is it that when God delays in our lives, we begin questioning and wondering if God loves us? The delay does not have anything to do with God's love. Again, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. But you notice here they had to have some faith in relation to this delay. Jesus waits 2 days on purpose. In many cases, God will wait on purpose in our lives, in the situations we experience, the things that we're praying about. Drop down to verse 19 for the sake of time here. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I've pointed out before that Mary and Martha both say the same thing. But Martha, it almost appears like it's confronting Jesus. Mary is bowing humbly before Jesus. So again, I believe it's important how we approach the Lord with our questions and concerns. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now she's thinking at the end, at the time of the resurrection. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jews, and you know, often we as well, will believe in a resurrection at the end of time, not in time. So again, I know that, and again, this statement of faith, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that, notice, believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Notice this question then. Believest thou this? Now, he's talking about resurrection here. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Notice here, yes, she's making a statement of faith of believing in Christ, but she's stepping aside of the question and the issue that Jesus was raising here. Do you really believe that I have the power to raise your brother? I believe that's what he's asking here. But she says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now, this is an interesting thing that happens in this culture. People would actually gather and they wouldn't necessarily have sympathy or empathy for them, but they just put on a show of weeping and wailing and an appearance of sorrow. That's what they would do as a public display of this. Some of them, from what I understand in this passage and others, some of them are not necessarily truly sorrowful necessarily for them, but again, they put on a show for that. It says in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, notice, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You notice again, both of them say the same thing. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Shortest verse in the Bible, one of our favorite memory verses, Jesus wept. But yet you notice the compassion that Jesus has for this whole situation. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Again, they're not seeing the possibilities of what Jesus is able to do here. And again, they're finding fault ultimately with Jesus. Yeah, he could have raised this man up so he would not have died. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. You notice Jesus does not do for others that they should be able to do for themselves. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Notice Jesus again challenges her faith here. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, notice what he prays here now. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. Notice this statement. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Again, Jesus was challenging their weak faith here, and he wanted to strengthen their faith. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, of course, he had to mention Lazarus' name, or everyone would come forth, as Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. But you notice again, his whole purpose in this, first of all, was the glory of God, but also notice that they might believe. Now, drop back to verse 15. I want you to see again this statement here in relation to their faith. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. He's talking to his disciples here. Again, he very plainly tells them in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Again, God will often test our faith. I want you to notice with me Romans chapter 4 as we work our way back towards Hebrews 11 again. I want you to notice again something in relation to faith in delays. Now, I believe it's very important for us to notice what Scripture says and pray that Scripture back to God. But as you consider, though, a promise that God may give you from Scripture, when God gives us a promise and we have to wait and wait and wait and wait for an answer, I believe that is the Lord testing our faith in Him. I want you to notice this example of Abraham here. We'll see this here in Hebrews 11. Notice it says in Romans 4, verses 16 and following. Again, we're talking about trusting God in times of delay. It says, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Thank God that clear back, even with Abraham, God included us Gentiles. Right from the start, we're not talking about just in the New Testament. Right from the start, God had a plan for Abraham to be a blessing even to the nations, the Gentile nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, did Abraham ever doubt? Yes, we've already seen that. Abraham had times of doubt, the times that he struggled with the delays of God. Remember, Abraham had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise that God gave him. Okay, we have trouble waiting 25 hours for God's answer. Can you imagine waiting 25 years for a big answer like Isaac? Notice, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. Now, wait a minute. I thought Abraham laughed. He did laugh. But notice here, God strengthened his faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, there was a point when he staggered. Remember Hagar? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice this also. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. You know, literally, the study of Abraham is an interesting study. As I years ago preached through the book of Genesis, I noticed early on Abraham struggled. And he struggled. And you know, then he would make some good choices of faith and so on. Can you imagine finally having your only begotten son, as the Bible calls him, the son of promise, and all of a sudden God tests your faith and says, take him up to the mountain, sacrifice him to me. Can you imagine the questions that could run through your mind? And yet, I don't see any of those questions in Abraham by the time he's going up to Mount Moriah. By the way, the place of the temple later. That's how God wants to work in our lives as far as faith. Notice Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I struggle, personally, in my life sometimes when I look at circumstances that test my faith. And I believe, really, God will often wait to send the answer my way so that I can start learning the lesson. Notice it says in verse 13, these all died in faith. Notice this statement, not having received the promises. I have actually heard of men, preachers, that were praying for somebody to be saved and they were not saved until after they died. Other answers. People will pray for years and the answer often doesn't come until after they've passed away. not having received the promises, but notice this act of faith here, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. Remember being fully persuaded, as we saw of Abraham? Were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. God said it, so I believe it's going to happen. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Notice, they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You talk about delays in God's answers. We must trust God in times of delay. Now, I want you to think about this. If God immediately answered every request that we sent His way, would that strengthen our faith or weaken it? Well, we think, well, yeah, that would strengthen my faith because, boy, that's the name it and claim it philosophy. That does not strengthen faith. God is not this big vending machine in the sky, you know, boop, 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 you know, put my money in put my tithe in, and God's going to send everything my way. Sometimes Jesus will on purpose wait a few days, a few weeks, months, sometimes even years. It's a test of faith to strengthen our faith in the Lord. Also consider number four, remove doubt and fear. Did you notice the example in Matthew 14? Matthew chapter 14. I wish I was preaching, standing up here preaching and saying, yeah, this is what I practice all the time. I'm preaching to myself as a reminder. You know, remember I preached a message several months ago, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I mean, that's the struggle that you have in a person's heart. Removing doubt and fear. This is an example of a very popular story. Straightway Jesus constrained his, verse 22, I'm sorry. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. I'm always reminded of this. Jesus is in heaven praying on the mountain, praying for us even today. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, first of all, let me remind you, Jesus says, let's go to the other side. So if you face a storm in life, you're going to make it to the other side because Jesus said we're going to get there. But again, in the midst of the sea, the storm, we often forget those things. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. There's been a few contrary winds, even with this RV out here. I try to keep those covers on and everything wants to blow away and everything. Just kind of keep the cold wind out. The wind can be contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. All right, so we're dealing with fear and unbelief here. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Then, Peter, you speak before you think. Well, I want you to think about this. He was the only one of the disciples who had the opportunity to talk about walking on the sea. The other disciples could only talk about Peter walking on the water. So, but it is smart to ask before you just step out, though. So you notice here, Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He's literally walking on the water now. He's not just finding rocks along the shore, like the liberals like to say. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I want you to notice what happens here. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's fear and unbelief. Fear and doubt. Here's what Jesus was essentially saying. Peter, you were walking on the water. Why did you doubt? How many times does he have to say to us, oh, you have little faith? But you know, it doesn't take a lot of faith to see God answer. Grain of mustard seed. Amen. Yeah. Jesus can take our little faith and strengthen it. Right. when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. I believe there was an immediate calm. It was not just a gradual, they finally made it to the shore. I believe immediately. In fact, as you compare gospel accounts, it appears that immediately they were at the shore even. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That's the response that we are to have as God does this work. But you notice again, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Fear and doubt. Consider also Mark 9. There's a statement here that this father makes that I want for us to see. I almost had us go to the Matthew account of this, but there's an extra statement that Mark presents to us that I think is very interesting. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. This is right after the Mount of Transfiguration. And the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye them with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wherefore he taketh him, and he teareth him. All right, so we have a demonic spirit, and so it's causing this young man to not be able to speak. So he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And by the way, Jesus says in Matthew 17, as the disciples were asking why, it's because of their unbelief. So again, we see another statement of unbelief here. Verse 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation. And I've often prayed, I wonder if the Lord is saying this to us today. O faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? What's he asking there? How long am I going to put up with you? I wonder how long Jesus puts up with us. Huh? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming, exactly as the father had said. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Somewhere along the way, this child was possessed of a devil, of an evil spirit. And oft times, it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. By the way, the devil is out to destroy, not to help. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, I don't think this father is asking, Lord, if you can do anything. I have a feeling he's pleading with the Lord. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, so can he believe? That's the question he's asking. All things are possible to him that believeth. Remember, we've already seen that. Now, I want you to notice the father's response here. This is what I want to focus on. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But there's an added statement that Mark presents to us that Matthew does not reveal. Help thou mine unbelief. Essentially, I see this father saying, Lord, I know you can help us. I've seen you cast out devils. I've seen you heal people. I know you are able to help us. But help thou mine unbelief. I believe this is a prayer we need to often ask or present to the Lord. Lord, I know you're able to. I've seen it in Scripture. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me in the struggle with my faith. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter into him more. The spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. But again, you notice that statement, help thou mine unbelief. One other passage here tonight, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Trust God in times of delay. Remove doubt and fear. In the context of trials, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations. Now, how many of you arrived at that maturity level? You count it all joy when you fall into various trials, various temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I made the mistake years ago of praying for patience, and then my wife ended up in surgery. She told me to stop praying for patience. You notice there, the trying of our faith worketh patience. I hope over the years I've gained a little more patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. So notice here, we're talking about maturity. Increasing Christian maturity. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, generously. God is a liberal when it comes to wisdom. He wants to give liberally. And abradeth not. And it shall be given him. But notice the clarification here, though. But let him ask in what? In faith. Nothing wavering. What are we talking about with wavering? Doubt. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubt. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For times of enjoyment in Hawaii, we would go to one of our favorite parks. We started figuring out there's certain times of the year that it's not as nice because there's too many people there. But I want you to think about this. As you see a wave, is it stable or unstable? Literally, we see that the wind drives the waves. A wave literally is out of control. It doesn't have control of itself. So we have the picture here. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Right. So what are we talking about here? Notice the root word of wavering. It's like a wave. All right, so the one who's wavering, who's doubting, is like the sea wave. It's tossed up on the shore and immediately, you notice here, there's instability because of this doubt. Notice he that wavereth, doubts, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Those are the times when we get out of control in our lives. Times of unbelief and doubt. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's wavering. He's doubting. Notice the statement then. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want you to consider that in times of instability because of doubt and fear, God is not able to work. Why? Because we are wavering. I want you to think about the faith, the idea of faith. As I mentioned earlier, all the Lord is looking for is a mustard seed of faith. I don't know if you've seen a mustard seed. I think there used to be a bag of mustard seed in the closet back here. I don't remember if it's still there or not. But, you dump those out, it almost looks like powder. And yet, that grain of mustard seed becomes a tree. What's God saying? It doesn't take a huge amount of faith. All we have to have is a grain of mustard seed to see him begin working. So how strong is our faith tonight? I think of, as you read through the Gospels, I think of how many times the Lord says to the disciples, O ye of little faith. But not only that, but sometimes he says, you have no faith. Oh, that the Lord would not say to us, where's your faith? Father, I pray that you'd help us strengthen our faith, especially in relation to prayer, as we've been considering. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a testimony of, like Abraham, like the patriarchs, who, Lord, did not receive the answers, the promise, but yet they saw it afar off. Lord, as a pastor, I pray that you'd help me to lead the example, lead the way in that, strengthen my faith. But even as the disciples prayed, increase our faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.